One year ago, rioters tore through the U.S. Capitol. The insurrection was, of course, a national event, but it had ramifications here in the D.C. area. It touched our residents, business owners, elected officials, and teachers all in a different way. Here are the voices of some of those people talking about what they saw that day and what it all means a year later. We begin with Leisha Desjardins, a reporter who covers the Capitol for PBS NewsHour.
We knew it was going to be a big day, but we all thought it was a big day to end the election. We thought that was going to be the news of the day. So I packed a lot of snacks for a long day. In the back of my mind, I knew that there were protests planned for outside the Capitol. And I thought, maybe I'll need to go out there.
I anticipated that there could be violence on January 6th. I was very aware of that. Because of all the signals we were receiving in open communications and social media from radical groups like the Three Percenters and the Proud Boys and so forth. Yeah, I'm Jerry Conley. I'm the congressman from the 11th District of Virginia, which includes Fairfax County, Prince William County, and Fairfax City.
I saw just a stream of people going to the Trump rally, many more people than I had expected, and this was many blocks from where that rally was supposed to be.
So my first visual, as we're driving from the White House going to the Capitol, we're passing huge crowds. I'm Colonel Craig Hunter, and currently I'm the Chief of Staff for the District of Columbia Army National Guard. When we arrived at the Capitol, the next visual I saw, I just couldn't believe how many people were surrounding the Capitol at that point.
And I talked to the Capitol police officers at the front entrance and said, hey, you guys, you know, how are you? Are you ready for this? What do you think the day is going to be like? They were so relaxed. They kind of shrugged off. They said, oh, you know, we're good.
I was encountering staff of Speaker Pelosi. And a person I know on that staff told me, go to the House floor. And I said, I thought you wanted us to be in the gallery. He said, we're sheltering in place on the House floor. And that's when I realized we had a problem.
I think here's what people don't understand about the riot at the Capitol is that it was happening before people inside the Capitol knew it was happening. I walked down the hall to the center door of the Capitol, and that was when I got one of the biggest shocks of my life to see just rioters, all of them smashed up against the front door of the Capitol and trying to smash through it.
We could hear pounding. And I don't think we were fully aware of the fact that the Capitol had been breached.
It was just myself, three other reporters, and one police officer. And there were thousands of people clearly trying to get into the Capitol. I heard them using everything they had, flagpoles, fists, to try and crash through that glass.
You know, that pounding noise gets closer and closer. And so you really are aware of the fact that there's this menace.
I'm Captain Brendan Hook of the Fairfax County Police Department. We were requested over a regional radio system called PMARS for pretty much from Capitol Police to send everybody you got. Really, we didn't know. This is unlike anything I've ever experienced. We've gone into DC as a unit many times, but always for pre-planned events, whether it's the inauguration or large protests. We really didn't have much of anything other than get down here as fast as you can with your gear. There were lights and sirens headed from Virginia to DC from almost every direction.
All hell has broken loose on the floor of the House. And they start to evacuate people through on the Republican side of the floor into the Speaker's lobby.
Everything was suddenly on lockdown. So I was like locked out of the lockdown, you know, with the rioters. So I had to like go through this little, like a mail slot. And I was like, it's Lisa, let me in, you know, and like the rioters were following me and, you know, stuff was happening. And so they let me in really quickly and they closed the door and they said, you are in lockdown now. You can't leave this office.
We walked down the congressional subway as staffers and politicians were heading the other way. State flags are above you and you're walking in and the smell of tear gas was just getting stronger and stronger. And our liaison from Capitol Police said, okay, this is where you guys need to completely gear up. We don't have control of the inside of the building.
The speed at which the situation unfolded and how quickly things changed and were evolving was very similar to combat operations. Emotionally, it was different because you're on your home soil, you're in your city, you know, the city that I'm in, the District of Columbia National Guard. I'm here to support the citizens of the district.
We were waiting in this hallway, and all you could hear were the loud bangs of what I presume were flashbangs and tear gas and just screams from a crowd. And I remember there was one person I think that was arrested. They brought him back, he was handcuffed, and he was trying to fight through the whole hallway screaming and yelling. And that's when I was like, this is gonna be real.
My name is Ricky Toon, and I work on Capitol Hill. I've been there since 1984. I'm one of the lead cooks. I was at home, and I'm used to getting calls because I'm one of the shop stewards up here. My phone just kept ringing. Everybody that was working was telling me, you know, what was going on, that what the heck we do? Where the heck we go? And I said, just follow the directions and they gonna get you that they're safe.
Slowly regain that foothold by pushing them back, and we had to push them down the stairs, and there was just debris everywhere. There was doors and window frames just out. And they were just yelling awful things and telling us that when they took over, they're gonna put us in the electric chair or put our family in the electric chair.
I had to convince a friend of mine to let me out of lockdown. And that was a very tricky moment. And I just had to say to this staffer, I have to get back out there. I have to report on this and I can be safe. And then he said to me, I don't feel good about this. And I said, I need to get out there. And then he just made the decision and he said, okay. And he opened the door and it was such a moment of
I will confess, I sent a goodbye email to my wife and daughter because I kept on thinking of 9/11 and all of those unsaid goodbyes that leave people in such pain. And I thought, you know, I have an opportunity not to make it dramatic, and I, you know, couched everything in unlikely, but I love you, and if this, you know, goes really south, you know, please remember that. And those are the kinds of thoughts you had that day.
This is Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton of the District of Columbia. I live on Capitol Hill, 9 blocks from the Capitol, so it reverberated over our entire neighborhood. For me, it was not only an attack on the Capitol, it was an attack on our hometown.
My name is Gabrielle Doyle, and I've lived on Capitol Hill for almost 4 years, not quite. We could hear some noise from the house, and my husband, particularly upstairs, like in the upstairs bedroom, could hear noise. So he knew there was, you know, a lot going on.
I start getting messages and I start getting tagged because they had just breached the Capitol and things were falling apart.
My name is Maria Helena Carey, and I am a blogger at a local blog called The Hill is Home. It was just one of those moments where the adrenaline is kind of coursing through you. You know that something serious is happening, but at the same time, it's still not really hitting you because you're not, I guess, there.
My name is Micheline Mendelson, and I am the deputy CEO of the Sunnyside Restaurant Group. 3 of my managers called me all at the same time. And it was just kind of figuring out, okay, what do we need to physically turn off and close? Like, what is the bare minimum somebody can do to close a restaurant, right, in 20 minutes and make sure people get home?
We had some kids that lived quite close to the Capitol and were rather fearful about what was going on. My name is Angelo Perotti. I teach fifth grade at John Eaton Elementary School in Washington, D.C. I said to them, it'll be fine. You know, it'll be all right. There are people down there that are watching it. It won't, you know, spill over into the streets or anything. But honestly, I sometimes thought I was just being that comforting voice in a moment of fear and crisis.
Well, I remember the sirens when finally there was help given to the Capitol. The entire neighborhood was in an uproar waiting for help to come to the Capitol.
Talking to some of my old co-workers who do like housekeeping, they said like, man, like that place was tore up, benches broke, stuff pulled off the walls, and like they had to go in there and do all that, you know, mopping and waxing and sweeping.
Like it didn't end there, right? Going down on January 7th and 8th and watching the fence go up over around the immediate Capitol. I don't mean to be dramatic, but it is true. I burst into tears when I saw the soldiers in the street. And the fence really changed how we lived. It was the pandemic. We had found solace in walking to the mall.
People who were going into work were having to go around, adding an extra 20, 25 minutes to wherever they were going. It cut off businesses from the Capitol.
People in the restaurant industry had a really difficult year dealing with COVID. And so I think when the new year kind of came in, we all felt a little bit lighter. And then when January 6th insurrection happened, you almost couldn't believe what was happening. But then as a business owner, it was just another, you know, I describe it like another punch to the face, where you just all of a sudden had to think, do I close?
It has permanently changed this place, the dynamics in this place, if not the institution itself. Everybody's on some heightened level of awareness of security and threats to security that never existed before.
It had me like nervous, man. I'm gonna tell you, for a long time. I mean, like I'm still kind of like nervous now, like going in there, you know, since like they took the fences down. I do get kind of relaxed close to time to go home, but I'm always looking around, you know.
One of the best things that happened after January 6th was the group of Capitol reporters who were in really close touch with each other just started emailing each other and just saying, hey guys, that was pretty crazy. Like, let's give some space and see how everybody's doing. And that was the first time that I thought, wow, yeah, maybe I'm not doing perfect. maybe that's why I'm not sleeping. And maybe that's why I sort of have more of a lump in my throat when I talk about Congress.
My name is Greg Carr. I am an associate professor in the Department of Afro-American Studies at Howard University. As Black people, particularly in this country and in the world, if you're paying attention in the United States, then you could have predicted what was going to happen on the 6th. And so what we were really looking for was the reaction to what we anticipated could happen.
A number of my Republican colleagues, even after that violence, came back 5 hours later after the mob and voted to overturn the elections in Arizona and Pennsylvania. And that became personal. Now that's not political. You're siding with a violent mob when you vote that way.
Nothing changed for our citizens east of the river. And the gentrification project continues. Those who are most at risk economically continue to be at risk. And while you can just about see the United States Capitol Dome from the corner of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, it is in fact a universe away. The march coming to Washington to redress is a very important thing. And then you have January 6th, 2021. When a white nationalist horde invades the United States Capitol, determined to overthrow the government. And what are they? Where are they now? Out on bail, a few in jail.
I don't see how we could have had maybe only the second attack on the Congress in our history without what the January 6th committee is doing. In fact, doing the kind of investigation that is underway so that we can avoid at least some of what happened on January 6th. You cannot tell the future.
Yeah, should we be concerned about another January 6th happening? I think as a reporter, I have to be concerned about that. I can't be naive about it. And this is beyond that, because in truth, being on Capitol Hill and talking with regular people, it is clear to me that the emotions behind January 6th have not died down. I think they are more inflamed now. And I can't ignore it. I really think there is all of the fuel that was in place has actually stacked up a little bit higher